I love that we are a church full of regular folks. I don't have to be perfect. You don't have to be perfect. We're just going to love each other. We're going to share God's grace back and forth, whether you've been here a long time or a little bit, whether you messed up a long time ago or this morning right before you got to church. You are loved. Jesus loves you. And there's the church family that loves you. Amen? Yeah. I love my church family. And we get to honor a few of our church family this morning. I'm going to, I don't get to do these kinds of messages very often, so I'm kind of excited about this one today. We are going to honor our high school graduates this morning. I don't want to embarrass them, but I'm probably going to embarrass them a little bit, all right? So, I'm not going to ask you to say anything. I just want you to stand up as I call your name, all right? Would you do that? We're just gonna start on the end. Carlos, would you stand up? Let's give Carlos a hand. All right. Just remain standing, Carlos. And then Shyla. Give Shyla a hand. All right. And we got Catherine is next. Give Catherine a hand. And then we got Valerie. Yep. And then we got Hunter. Yep. And we got Sadie. Yep. And we got Josie. Yes. Woo. All right. Amen. You guys can sit down for a minute. Look, you finished high school. Listen, this is the first graduating class that dealt with COVID for 2 years. I mean, come on. Listen, they're going to be telling their grandkids, I remember when we had to do school at home. And they're going to say, it wasn't that bad. And you're going to say, yes, it was. You had no idea. And my grandparents said walking up hills both ways to school and home was bad, but COVID was, woo. Listen, I'm just so proud of these young men and young women. I'm excited about what God's going to do with their future. And I think that I'm grateful to have a church family that nurtures each other and loves each other and gives a foundation and really it's a launching pad. A church family is a launching pad for young adults to go out into the world, and we hope they launch and land right here at Grace Point. But chances are some of them are going to launch and land somewhere else. I did. And my church family, I'm still grateful for my church family. I'm still grateful for the people who encouraged me. I'm still grateful for all those people who showed me what it looks like to walk with Christ. And last week, as a matter of fact, I had the opportunity to fly to Georgia and speak at my pastor's Pastor Appreciation Day. He's the one, I first met him, he was my youth pastor when I was 17 years old, and we were all young and good looking and thin and all that stuff. And I got to go and just say thank you to him and his wife, Deanne, for all they did for me along the way. He was my youth pastor, and then he became my pastor, and I was on their church staff. And so I look back, and I'm incredibly grateful for the people who took time to love me and guide me. And that's what this church has been for these graduates. And so today is a day to look forward, to look ahead. And at the end of the message, we're going to bring them up on stage. And we got a little gift for them, and we just want to pray over them and ask God to bless their next step in their relationship with Christ, that God would guide them wherever it is, if they're going to get a job or go to college or whatever it is they're doing, that God would bless their next step in this journey. But I got some advice I want to give, some stuff that I really wish that I would have done. Some of it is very spiritual in nature. Some of it is very, very practical in nature that has spiritual results, and some things that I wish I had done differently. All right, I'm not going to give my testimony today. You don't need to hear that this morning, but some things that I think we could all grow from. It's not just the people on the front row over here. It's all of us can even if you're a little bit farther down the road, and maybe there's some areas in your life where you say, okay, now that I understand what the scripture was saying, I can start over in that area and let God use me differently and let this turn out differently in my life. So I got 9 things I want to share with you this morning, all right? So here's the first one. If I was starting out right now, I would say choose joy. Choose to be happy. This is you get to make this decision. The Bible gives us this command: always be joyful. Now just look at somebody and smile one time. Just smile at them real big. I'm not going to point at anybody, but for some of you, that was harder than others. I've said this before. When you walk into a room and the room dims a little bit, that's on you, not on the electric company. All right? We have to make a choice that even when things are not perfect, because I've learned along the way that things are never perfect. Somebody said to me out in the hall this morning, "How are you doing?" I said, "I'm great. Things are perfect." And then I went, "Well, that's a lie. It's not really perfect. I could name a few things I'd change right now if we could. But I'm still going to choose to be happy. I'm going to certainly try to." And this thing, that this joy that the Bible is talking about, is not just because of the good stuff that comes into our lives. You know, it's when if you were to get a call today and somebody says, "You've just won $1 million. Well, you're going to be happy no matter what. People be dying all around you. And you're like, "Yes, amen, I'm happy." Because that just made you happy because something good happened to you. But the joy of the Lord is when things are terrible all around you and you don't get the call for $1 million. And people are still looking at you like, "Why are you smiling? What in the world is going on? What do you have to be happy about?" That's the joy of the Lord. And here's what I found out. The more joy I have, the more people want to be around me. And the more friends I have and the more time I get to spend with other people, the more joy I have. And so it sort of works together. Here's the second thing I think I would do. Just pray. Just spend some time praying. Does it feel like you're so busy that you don't have time to pray? I love the old story about, I believe it was George Washington. Somebody asked him, "If you had 8 hours to cut down a tree, what would you do?" And he said, "I would take the first 6 hours and sharpen the axe." That's about preparing. See, prayer doesn't go before the battle. Prayer is the battle. If I will surrender it all to God today and just never stop praying. I mean, I'm praying in the line at Walmart, and I'm praying in the car, and I'm praying. Sometimes people will say, "Would you pray for me?" And I just grab their hand and let's do it right now. And sometimes they're a little bit embarrassed. They're like, "Well, I thought we could find a better place." And I'm like, "Look, he's listening. You're here. Let's do it. Come on." Never stop praying. Just never stop. I'm praying for the car. I've told you this story. I, when Jody and I first got married and we first moved to Texas, and the state we moved from did not require a car inspection. We drove this car that did not have a horn, and you have to have a horn to pass the inspection. It has to go honk every time you push the button. It didn't work, and I knew it didn't work. And I'm over there praying like, "God, I don't know what's going to happen right here, but if this guy could look over, just don't even look at the horn, you know, whatever. I don't care how you do it, God, but I don't have any money. I was dead broke." I mean, I'm talking about so broke that people feel sorry for you broke. That kind of broke. And he's got the clipboard. This was before computers, all you smarties. All right, he's looking at the clipboard, and he reaches the driver's side windows down, and he reaches in, and the horn honked. I promise you. I said... I'm looking around like, "I don't know what's going on, but I'm in. I'm in. I want in on this." Horn worked for 2 days and stopped working again. True story. Pray. Pray about stuff. Pray about your family. Pray about your finances. Pray about the job you're looking at. Pray about your health. Pray about stuff. Just stay in contact with God. Prayer changes stuff that we cannot change. Now, not very often is God going to change something that you can change. If you say, "God, that refrigerator is really dirty, and we need to, God, if you just," God's going to be like, "Just, there's some scrubbing pads under the sink, and get busy." Prayer changes stuff that we can't change. Prayer changes people we can't change. Prayer opens doors we cannot open. I'm just going to confess all my stuff to you today. I got a job one time at Domino's Pizza when I was in college. I needed this job so bad. This is before I was broke. This is when I was broke. All right? And I went and I asked for this, I applied for this job, and I had confession time, I had too many speeding tickets on my record to get this job. They should not have hired me to deliver Domino's pizzas. That's how unqualified I was. I got the job. When he called me, I was like, I don't know what just happened. Some computer glitch somewhere, but I don't even care. Thank you, Lord. And I decided I probably ought to slow down just a little bit and try to keep this job. Prayer will open doors for us. Here's number three. Be thankful. Just live with a heart of thanksgiving every single day. 1 Thessalonians says, be thankful in all circumstances, for this is God's will for you who belong to Christ. Be thankful in all your circumstances. There's always a silver lining. Here's what thankfulness indicates. It indicates contentment. When I am thankful, it shows that I'm content, not satisfied. Listen, if you want a job making more money, don't be satisfied where you are. Work hard, pray, develop your skills, grow into the next job. That's great. The Bible teaches us to work hard, right? But I got to be content where I am. And if I'm not thankful, I will never be content right here. And if I'm not thankful right here, God probably can't trust me with the next step in my journey. I probably got to learn to be thankful right here. Thankfulness looks outward instead of inward. If I live my life with thanksgiving every day, other people around me see that I am testifying. Not that I'm talking and I'm forcing it on anybody, but I'm living a testimony of God's goodness. When other people see that things are not going extremely well for me at the moment, but I say, but God's got it. I'm thankful for all the stuff God's done for me. Not with some false humility, but really meaning it from my heart. God can work through that. God can work through that. All right, here's number four. It sort of gets real practical right here. Think about your money. If I could give one piece of very, very, very practical advice, is think about your money when you're young. I want all the old people in the room to say amen. Does anybody here wish that you hadn't saved as much money as you did when you were young? You just wish, I wish I'd have just blown some more of that money, doggone it. That would have been so much better if I was a little broker now than I was back then. That'd be so good. Listen, everybody that saves money one day is thankful they saved money. But everybody who saves money has to go through the pain of saving the money. And it is not fun. The Bible says this, good planning and hard work lead to prosperity. Good planning and hard work lead to prosperity. I love what my friend Joe McGee, he's preached for us many times here at Grace Point. He says, he quotes the scripture that a good man leaves an inheritance to his grandchildren. And he said, my grandpa was so bad with his money that he was reaching into our pockets from his casket. And I remember thinking, well, I hope I'm not that guy. I don't want to be that guy. I don't want to be a hardship. Money problems don't go away because you ignore them. Money problems get worse because you ignore them. When we're talking about things we need to do every day, pay attention. Think about your money. Give some money. Tithe. Make sure you budget. Save a little money. Do some planning ahead, but think about your money. The biggest mistake I made early on was somebody said, this is a thing called a retirement account. And I was like, whatever, that's 10,000 years away. I'm never going to retire. And now I start looking, you know, I think I might would like that one day. I don't know, you know, not anytime soon, but sometime. And $5 back then is like $500 saving today. It's a matter of just starting with a little bit. My dad told me a story about a friend of his who he would always save. He said he called it paying himself first. Every Friday he would get paid, he would go to the bank, and he would pay himself first. He would take 10% of his check out, and he would put it in a savings account. And watch this. Now, I'm not advocating this, but this is what this guy did. If he could not afford that week to pay his bills and pay himself the 10%, he would go to one of his buddies and say, hey, can I borrow whatever 10% is from them and put it in his savings account until next week when he got paid, and then we go pay them back. Now listen, don't do that to anybody, all right? But here's the deal. You got to be sold out on the fact that you got to take care of it now. If you just put a little bit back now, if you start giving God what belongs to Him, you give Him more to work with, and He blesses. You don't give to God so you can get something back, but when you give to God, you get something back. God blesses that process. So take care of your money. Every day, every day, every day you got to be thinking about your money. You let a month go by and you're broke and people don't like you, all right? Bills haven't been paid. You got to do it every day. Here's number five. Be responsible for your stuff. Don't make somebody else be responsible for yourself. Galatians 6 and 5 says, for each one should carry their own load. Oh, okay, we're going. This is heavy, all right, but stay with me. You have to love me to get to heaven, so here we go. Every one of us is to help carry the burden of our brother or sister. The Bible tells us that, bear one another's burdens. But right here it says, each one of you should carry their own load. Now, a load is something that I can handle. A burden is something I cannot. I'm going to load this up, what God has made me responsible for. I'm going to be responsible for it. I'm going to carry that load. Now, when it gets too heavy for me, that's when the Bible tells John, go help him carry that load. Get under that burden with him and help him carry it. But I got to take care of my stuff first. Now, everybody who has been alive the last 20 years, at least if you had kids or you were a kid in the last 20 years, you're going to know the end of this quote that I'm about to share with you. It goes like this. It was from a famous movie. It says, put that thing back where it came from, or so help me. Mike Wazowski, Monsters, Inc. Now watch. Put that thing back where it came from, or so help me. You know what he's saying? Take care of your stuff. If you use it, you put it back. If you break it, you fix it. If you mess it up, you clean it. If you open it, you shut it. Carry your own load. The goal of my life and your life cannot be that we are just waiting till one day when we can sit down and do nothing. There's stuff to do every single day. There's stuff to do. I got to get up and go to work. Somebody's going to have to wash the dishes today. Somebody's going to have to take the dog out. Somebody's going to have to take care of the bills. Somebody's going to have to... Everything, nothing in your house is automated. You can't press a button and everything just immediately flies back in place. If you set a glass that's half empty down on the counter, it will still be there tomorrow. I got to carry my own load. I've got to make sure that I take care of my stuff. Somebody said to me one time, just keep your side of the street clean. You know what they were saying? Just take care of your stuff. Just pay attention to the little things. Let me tell you something. I'm just going to take this a step further. This is not in the notes. This is free. All right. Ten minutes a day straightening up the house can change your marriage. Yeah. Come on. Fellas, I'm helping you here, all right? 10 minutes a day of just picking up that pile of clothes that's been there for 3 weeks. And you're like, I'm just going to shake it out and put it back on. Just a few minutes of carrying your own load can change your life. I'm really going to stop there. Okay. All right. Fellas, come see me after church. I can help you. Number six, work on your relationships. Work on your relationships. You know, in the movies, at the end of the movie, and they're running to each other, and her hair is flowing, and he's got giant muscles. And the music is playing, and they're, you know, it's slow motion, and they run into each other, and they're kissing, and they fall on the ground, and it's just beautiful. They don't show you what happens tomorrow. You better be working on that relationship, because the soundtrack is gone. The wind that was blowing your hair is gone. You're going to have to go to the gym if you're going to keep them muscles. I mean, stuff starts to happen. We have to work on the relationships that really matter to us. Ecclesiastes 4 and 10 says, if one person falls, the other can reach out and help, but someone who falls alone is in real trouble. Now listen, I can't expect anybody to reach out to me if I'm not reaching out too. I've heard people say, well, nobody called me. I want to say, how many times did you call somebody? How many times did you reach out before this happened? The Bible teaches us if you want friends, you got to be friendly. You got to handle your relationships. You got to make a call. You got to make the text. You got to hang out together. You got to forgive. You got to spend time together. You got to encourage. You got to work on relationships. You got to work on your marriage. You got to work on your friendships. You got to work on your job relationships. All that stuff matters. It does not happen naturally. We have to work on it if we want those relationships to get better. And the way we do that is to decide to be a servant to the people around us. If you are keeping score, well, every time we hang out, I call them. All right. You can be mad about it, or you can just be okay and hang out. I'm the one that always, especially in a marriage, especially at home, if you're keeping score, you are not happy. All right? You are dealing with an enemy, an opponent. Well, I'm winning. Well, you might be winning, but are you happy? I've been doing more than they've been doing. Yeah, but are you happy? If I'm going to work on relationships, I have to come at it from an attitude of servanthood. And when I do that, the people in my life can recognize it, and our relationship can grow. Now, here's number 7. This one's a little more spiritual. Read your Bible. Read your Bible. Romans chapter 10 says, so faith comes from hearing, that is, hearing the good news about Christ. Faith comes when I hear the Word of God. When I hear the Word of God. Faith comes when I hear the Word of God. If I am worried all the time, the first thing I would say is check to see how much Word you've been getting. Because faith trumps worry every single time. But I can't have faith if I don't have the Word. I got to fill up. Now, nobody in this room would say, you know what? I know the needle is on E, but I'm probably all right. I'm just going to chance it. I'm going to head to work this morning and hope. Now, some of you do that. You're like, faith and fumes, baby. I'm going for it. I'm just, here we go. Hang on. All right. It's probably a bad idea. At some point when that, you know, I'm okay when the car says you have 42 miles to empty. And then it says you have 38 miles to empty. And then it goes to like, you are empty. You have to do something about it at that point. Some of us have been running on empty for so long. And we wonder why we have no faith, and we wonder why we think the future is bleak, and we wonder why that we're not going to ever have anything, and we wonder why that everybody else is getting the good stuff and we're getting the bad stuff. And the Bible is teaching us if you have faith, you can move mountains, but you can't move mountains if you don't have faith, and you can't have faith if you don't have the Word. You got to get in God's Word. If you can do one thing in your life, graduates and everybody in the room, get into God's Word. Open your Bible. You don't have to conquer the Bible today. You don't even have to read 5 chapters today. Just open it and give God something to work with. Now, here's number 8. Every day you ought to laugh. Just laugh. Just find a way to laugh. My family knows if they walk in to the living room and nobody's there, I'm probably going to be watching a stand-up comic on Netflix or somewhere, all right? I just want to laugh. I just want to laugh. The Bible teaches us, watch this, a happy heart is good medicine. Just laugh. A happy heart is good medicine, and a joyful mind causes healing, but a broken spirit dries up the bones. You got to learn to laugh. You got to spend time together. You got to make sure that when you're together, it's not all just serious stuff. Plan times to laugh. Now, I get it. Many people in this room, this is not a natural thing. You just look at other people laughing and going, they're just silly and simple, and I cannot be that kind of person. I am too serious for this. You haven't been taking your medicine. good medicine. Yeah. You got to take your medicine. Now, when you were a kid, you had to hold your nose. It tastes terrible. Laughter tastes good going down. It's good for you. You know, there are doctors that actually prescribe funny movies, comedies for people who are sick. True story. They've done research on this now. We knew it was true because the Bible said it, but they had to do some research and find out for sure. They did the research and they found out people who laugh are healthier. People who laugh have lower high blood pressure. Listen, if you'll laugh, you don't have to be on that treadmill so much. You don't have to be mad at everybody at the gym. Just laugh a little bit. Build it into your schedule to laugh a little bit. People are going to think you crazy. That's all right. You'll be healthy and they'll be sick and that's all right. All right, here you go. Number 9, this is the last one. Trust God. Amen. You're going to have to trust God. Life is too long and too short to not trust God. Trust in the Lord with all your heart. Do not depend on your own understanding. You know what God said? You are not that smart. Trust in the Lord with all your heart. Do not depend on your understanding. Seek His will in all you do, and He will show you which path to take. How many of us, if I could take a poll this morning and ask you, how many of us are looking for direction in our lives? Almost 100% of us are looking for direction in our lives. We're looking for direction about a job or spending money or a family member or something in our life needs some direction because we're always moving forward, hopefully. But sometimes we get to that split in the road and we have to decide, what am I going to do? Am I going to the left? Am I going to the right? Trust in the Lord with all your heart. With all your heart. Don't lean on your own understanding. Don't depend on your own understanding. Seek His will in all you do. Lord, what do you want? I want what you want, God. Not my plans. Not my plans. I want your plans. And He'll show you which path to take. He will open the doors for you when the time comes. He will show you, but we have to trust Him. Sometimes we don't like trusting God for one simple reason. Because we don't like the direction He's taking us. I'm just going to do this my way. And then 6 months, a year, 5 years down the road, we realize, whoo, if I would have just cooperated a little bit with God, things would look a lot better now. Things would be a lot different now if I would have just trusted Him back then. God has a plan for every one of us. All you graduates, God has a plan for your life. The Bible says it like this: I know the plans I have for you, plans to prosper you, not to harm you, plans to give you hope and a future. God has a plan. God has a plan. And I envy you for one thing, is that you are starting out where there are no limitations. I love what Zig Ziglar said one time. If you don't know Zig Ziglar, look him up later. You'll be impressed. He said, I'm the luckiest man alive because I was born in Yazoo City, Mississippi. And everybody sort of goes, what in the world is he talking about? And then he gives you the punchline and he says, because it turns out that from Yazoo City, Mississippi, you can get to anywhere in the world. It's out there. What's God calling you to? What's the next step God has for you? Where is it that God's taking you from? How's God going to use you? There will be no more fulfilling life than to say, God, I want to go where you want me to go. Your life will be full of adventure. Your life will be full of challenge. Your life will be full of grace. Your life will be full of mercy and messed up people because He's going to use you to minister to people all along the way. Trust God for the next step. Amen.